From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. The NAACP said today it is filing class action lawsuits against two banks, Wells Fargo and HSBC. The group claims that those banks forced blacks into subprime mortgages while giving whites with the same qualifications better deals. We're going to spend the next several minutes discussing the racial aspects of this recession with three experts. And while we do, keep these figures in mind. The national unemployment rate is just over 8% now. For African Americans, it's nearly 13.5%. Okay, let's go to our panel. Algernon Austin is the director of the Race, Ethnicity, and Economy Program at the Economic Policy Institute. And you say when white America is in a recession, black America is in a depression. And what besides that high unemployment rate tells you that?
Unfortunately, typically the black unemployment rate is usually about twice the white unemployment rate. And that relationship basically holds today. The other thing that's important to note is at the current level of unemployment, everyone agrees that 8.1% for the nation is a national emergency. It's a crisis. We've seen significant job losses. But that level is actually a relatively good rate if you're blacks, meaning in the best of times, black communities have a very high level of unemployment. And in the worst of times, it's incredibly high. I can also add that we've seen a very large increase in the Hispanic unemployment also. I mean, although blacks have the highest unemployment rate, since the beginning of the recession, the Hispanic population has seen the largest increase, an increase of 4.7 percentage points.
And they're up nearly to 11% unemployment rate.
And unfortunately, we have not seen the peak unemployment yet for this recession. This is the Great Recession, as people are calling it. It's going to be longer and deeper than any we've seen in recent decades.
All right, let's bring in Lynette Kalfani-Cox. She is a personal finance coach. And tell us, why is it that African Americans are having more trouble in this economy than whites?
I think where African Americans are being disproportionately impacted are in ways that impact their ability to build wealth. For example, we know that people who don't have a job obviously are at risk of not being able to pay their mortgages. And so there's been so much attention given to the housing crisis and the foreclosure scenario going on in the country right now, where you have 1 in 10 homeowners who are behind on their mortgage payments and 1 out of 10 who's underwater, meaning they owe more on the home than the home is worth. In the African American community in particular, the numbers are far more dire. According to NAREB, the National Association of Real Estate Brokers, it's a community of primarily African American and Latino brokers, they're telling us now that 1 in 3 minority households, 1 in 3 are in foreclosure. And so this has a tremendous impact, of course, on home ownership rates, where you're seeing 73% of whites owning their own homes, about 50% of Latinos owning their own homes, and only 49% or so of African Americans being homeowners.
And let's bring in our third panelist, Steve Perry. He is a principal and founder of a school called the Capital Preparatory Magnet School. It's in Hartford, Connecticut. And Steve Perry, you're also the author of a book called Man Up, Nobody is Coming to Save Us. So I imagine you're a kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of guy. What do you make of these figures?
Well, it's hard to pull yourself up by bootstraps when you're barefoot. And one of the challenges that the African-American community finds itself facing, and Latinos as well, is that for many groups, buying a home was a long-term investment. But somewhere around 2004, people began to buy them as a means of almost a get-rich-quick plan, and thinking that they could own a home that was beyond their means. And specifically, as African-Americans go, some 63% of our wealth is tied up in our homes, where compared to white folks, it's about 38%. And so when a person is mortgaged to the teeth, they have more house than they can manage, then they find themselves from a very practical level spending more time working to pay the bills. Why does that matter? Well, I am a principal and founder of a high school. And when parents are working second and third shift, they find less time to prepare their children for school. Long-term ramifications of that are when children are not prepared and when parents are not participating in high wage or high income or high education jobs, we find the vicious cycle, that which brought them to this circumstance, which is a lack of understanding of the economy and how to manage money, is passed on to the next generation, thereby deepening the impact and extending it to a second, in some cases, a third generation.
So President Obama has included a lot of relief in his stimulus package and a lot of relief that would specifically help urban areas and minorities. And I'm wondering, do you think that's enough? You're there in Hartford, Connecticut. That's probably an area that's pretty hard hit and might see a lot of help from the stimulus package. What do you think about that?
I think the stimulus package is well intended. I don't know what it's going to look like when it hits the street. I think that one of the problems that we have is in a city like Hartford, in many cities that are that have in some cases a 30% graduation rate, the type of jobs that are necessary in order to pull people up, in order for people to be able to move forward, the type of wealth that needs to be created requires an education. And our children in many cases and now adults don't have the level of education that's necessary. So these low-wage jobs don't exist anymore, not in this country. We don't have a education base that's consistent with the types of jobs that would be necessary at this stage. So I feel like the problem that we have is that our population is undereducated for an economy that requires a high-end education.
This is Algernon here. I agree completely that we need significant improvements in the education area, but I think for understanding the economic crisis as a whole, we need to look deeper into the American economy. We see greater inequality, economic inequality in the U.S. than we see in other countries. There are more poor people in the U.S. U.S. workers work very hard, very long, but yet earn lower wages than other advanced countries. Yet our CEOs have higher incomes than other advanced countries. So a fundamental part of the economic crisis is really that average Americans have not been benefiting from the wealth of the society. And that's why they're looking to their house. Maybe I can get some income out of my house. So I see a root weakness in our economy, not simply in education, but in the economic inequality within our society.
Algernon, one of the things that I've seen, and I believe you've seen, is that people bought more house than they could afford. They really did. They bought in an attempt to either move up and out or purchase a house before they were able to. Bought more house than they could. And then what they did, they mortgaged it so that they could put nice things in it. And they kept going until someone called in the bets.
That's probably true. But they needed a lender to be complicit with that.
I agree with that.
And the question is, why do lenders who had all of their financial information, why were they complicit in that?
Let me bring in Lynette Calfani-Cox mm-hmm. here, because you probably talk directly with homeowners who are underwater and in trouble. And what do you see?
There's no question that we had a group of consumers, some of whom did in fact bite off more than they could chew and were willing to do so. But I hold first and foremost the lenders responsible. These are supposed to be the quote-unquote experts. You talk to a mortgage broker who is writing mortgages all day long, someone who's been in the business 5, 10, 20, 15 years or so, and frankly, that person has probably written hundreds, if not thousands, of mortgages in his or her career, whereas the average person will buy a home, once every 7 years or so, probably three times in that person's lifetime. So we know for a fact many minority communities, African Americans, Latinos, etc., were specifically targeted for subprime loans. Every single reputable organization has found this, from the Federal Reserve Bank to the Consumer Federation of America to the Center for Responsible Lending. One of the central findings that they all reached were that African-American women in particular were 2 to 3 times more likely to be targeted for and to receive subprime loans when they were becoming homeowners, regardless of their credit and or their income. Were they duped in some cases? Absolutely. And should they have, quote-unquote, read the fine print or known better? I would argue that the issue there goes back to a more fundamental question about education, specifically about financial education. We've simply raised a generation of financially illiterate adults in this country. Folks don't learn about managing their money and their credit and debt wisely in their homes. They certainly don't learn about it in college or in schools. So what should we expect of, you know, the average 30-something-year-old who's buying his or her first home or perhaps trading up when no one's taught them about basic money management principles?
Let's talk now about a possible rebound. Is it going to take a lot longer for African Americans, for Latinos also, to come back after this?
We started off in a crisis. We've now passed into the red in a very bad way. And as Lynette was saying, quite a few of our folks simply are not educated to simple, to basic principles of wealth management or growth. And so when you take those and you add the issue of limits in actual education, we're not just talking about the practical application of education in terms of financial, but just having a degree that will put them in a professional capacity, I think we're 5-6 years away from this end.
You know, when white America, you know, catches a cold economically, black America, for example, has the flu. So I would certainly think that if it, say, is a year or two for America as a whole to quote-unquote recover, I would anticipate it would be a longer recovery by and large for African American and Latino communities in particular.
And finally, I'd like you all to rate how President Obama has done in addressing these concerns and in addressing the economic disparities between whites and blacks.
You know, frankly, I would be doubtful that he would address the issue of black wealth specifically. But the means to that is, you know, the first step is employment, and the second step is home ownership.
Has President Obama addressed the issue of black wealth? No, not directly, not yet. I think we're very early into his tenure, and, you know, he's going to be up to his administration to determine what comes first. I think he has clearly made the economy the dominant issue and addressing the economy for all Americans, because he is, in fact, a president for all Americans, not just the African-American community, clearly.
And that wraps up our panel on race and the economy. We heard from Steve Perry. He's the author of the book Man Up, Nobody is Coming to Save Us. We also heard from Algernon Austin. He's the director of the Race, Ethnicity, and the Economy Program at the Economic Policy Institute in Washington. And Lynette Kalfani-Cox. She's the author of the book Zero Debt, The Ultimate Guide to Financial Freedom.